Okay, good morning everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, we've had a challenging week last week in the sense that a lot of the analysis was looking for some risk-off market dynamics, which unfortunately, apart from the gap from last week, which the gaps every weekend are getting much, much smaller. There was a little gap again last night, but very, very small. So there's a resilience to Donald Trump's rhetoric, really, I guess, is the bottom line. There is, because there's so many other questions that need to be asked regarding tariffs, the markets don't really know. So as a result, it's just carrying on regardless, it seems. Now, if those tariffs do come to pass, that is a very, very challenging and very, very different dynamic we would expect for these financial markets. But that is the risk that those that are continuing to pile in to these very expensive, very, very bullish sentiment behind these markets. But when you break down some of the data, it's not looking as bullish as the price action would have you suggest. So that creates a bit of a problem for us. And we're unlikely to get any sort of significant clarity over the course of today because it's a bank holiday in North America. So let's break down these market dynamics as best we can. We'll, of course, start with our risk warning. Take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning up on screen, as always. Be mindful of the risks involved in trading these financial markets. Now, we had a few attempts at the markets last week. And it felt like it was always one of these dynamics where we were kind of using our capital to test out the opportunity and see if it would develop and unfold. And for most of the trades, that wasn't really the case. So I think we only had one winning trade last week, and it was able to sort of be very close to breaking even for the week. So not a particularly successful trading week from a trade frequency perspective. So the number of trades we took were much, much lower. The size is a little bit more conservative, and we only needed sort of one profitable trade to sort of balance the books for the week. So not a great trading week in any stretch of the imagination last week. Now let's see if this week, luckily, it's not like that every week, but hopefully we'll be able to identify some high probability trades and look to jump on them this week if we get that opportunity. So all profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets do we trade? Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk? So risk management. A lot of people get caught up in the where do we get in and where do we get out. That's the trading strategy. Of course, there's a lot more to trading financial markets than just that sort of narrow scope. That does play an important role and stuff, but so does your ability to manage your risk and to know exactly what sort of conditions are we trading and how aggressive are we going to be with our trades. And that's where risk management comes in, along with your ability to manage each trade to a successful outcome, with trade psychology all piled in there as well. So I suppose the psychology from last week was around the fact that our expectations were much lower. So not at any particular point did we sort of go into a trade with a really strong conviction to that trade, with relatively limited kind of upside. We were far more likely to sort of get caught in a bit of sideways moving price action and things of that nature. So as a result, from a psychological perspective, we were looking for, more conservative outcomes. Okay, so we address these considerations every day in our live trading rooms, as you know, and we're strong advocates of still maintaining a high degree of consistency in our trading, be accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's begin to tease these markets out. So the first thing to observe really for the day ahead is the fact that it's a bank holiday in North America. So the Canadian economy, banks in most provinces do not observe this holiday and will remain open. Okay, that's interesting. some Canadian banks will close in observance of Family Day. So Family Day in Canada and President's Day in the US, of course. So, and I suppose the main take home really is the fact that we're very likely to see much, much lower liquidity and irregular volatility. So when you go through markets and during times like this, it's a perfect opportunity for market makers, those that can move price to suit their own agenda, chase stop losses, because there's very little resistance for them to do that. So irregular volatility is right. So you can often get a lot of price swings without any sort of major direction. And this would be primed for one of those days. In normal market conditions, market makers can do a little bit of that, but it's a little bit more concerned because the market has the potential to rally, and they don't want to get caught offside with that sort of that type of manipulation in these markets. So if we know we're going to experience trading conditions similar to that, we need to build that into our thinking. So it's probably worth just taking a quick look at last week briefly. Again, we had a series of potentially negative news for markets. So Donald Trump, we had every evening talking about tariffs, but doing so in a very incoherent manner. There's still a lot of information that markets need to know. What they're sort of suggesting now is that it's a lot of talk from Donald Trump in order to negotiate. And what we'll often find is deals to avoid, you know, the tariff narrative coming into play. So that's quite interesting. So Donald Trump every evening, I don't know if he's going to be doing the same this week, but every week, every evening last week, we'd be hearing from Donald Trump. And literally, who knows what's going to come out of his mouth next. Some things he has a point and really quite coherent, and other things just sound like pure and utter gibberish. So yeah, we'll have to take that into consideration. So if we look at sort of specific elements, so Donald Trump with his tariffs is quite negative for markets. Jay Powell finally sort of acknowledging that inflation is a little bit stronger than perhaps the Fed would like is kind of a negative narrative for these markets. CPI coming in much higher than expected, the actual numbers themselves, is negative for markets. Donald Trump again. And then on Thursday, we had some CPI from the US. So again, that's just looking slightly more elevated. Unemployment claims still pretty strong. Don't forget, we got the week before last, we got US employment numbers coming in actually lower than what the market expected. Previously 4.1%, actually pulling back to 4%. So the really strong jobs market. Again, that's slightly more feeds into this inflationary narrative, which the market again seems to be ignoring. So there's quite a few elements to these markets where we would have really expected a different response. And then retail sales, they're coming in much weaker than expected as well, significantly on the headline. In the previous month, positive 0.7, and this month, minus 0.9. So quite a wide swing there for retail sales. Again, we would expect that to feed into a little bit of weakness, and instead we saw the complete opposite, which is the resilience trade. The buy these markets no matter what. Now that sort of narrative is going to come unstuck at some point, and you'll get, you know, some significant selling in relatively short periods of time. But for now, the buy and dip trade is alive and well. The question is for how long. So look, tomorrow we've got Donald Trump speaks again. Will we be hearing from Trump every single night? Maybe that's the plan. You can see that they don't schedule these things in, that They seem to, day by day, they seem to pop up on the calendar. So that's a new development for markets to sort of digest. It's probably marginally better than him posting and tweeting and stuff, and causing chaos, you know, just in text form. At least we get to hear from him. He does invite a certain section of the press into the Oval Office to ask questions, probably well-briefed journalists about questions that they can and cannot ask, perhaps. So let's hear what he says now tomorrow. And it's such a difficult dynamic for markets because you can't sort of preempt what comes out of his mouth. You can't. He doesn't play by the rules, if that makes sense. So I suppose what we can say and what we can see is that the markets are positive regardless of what Donald Trump seems to be doing right now. The other thing is that we do know that Donald Trump is very mindful of equity markets, and he seems to value the relative strength in the equity markets. And now, on the positive side, so I spoke about a lot of the negative side. On the positive side to these financial markets is corporate earnings. And that seems to be winning over these markets completely. And to be fair, that they're something in the tune of 80% of corporate earnings in the US have been in line or above expectations. Now, that's quite interesting because that's a really, really solid performance. Although, if we look at the S&P 500, we've yet to breach these highs. These highs from end of June, isn't it? So look, we had highs as well in December, so towards the end of last year, and we have exceeded those highs. We are slightly higher from last year's highs, but we're up nothing in comparison to something like the German DAX, which is, I mean, we've got political turmoil in Germany. We've got the election, I think it's next weekend. Bit of a positive reaction to potentially resolution with Russia and the U.S. I was going to say Russia and Ukraine, Russia and the U.S. Coming to some sort of arrangement around ending the war, which is a positive for the European economy. But other reasons why this is rallying when the economy is not performing particularly well, political instability, and we're seeing an outsized response. It probably has a little bit more to do with being undervalued, more broadly speaking. But if you look at this price action, it's pretty stellar the last 2 months. Pretty unbelievable. And it's a bit of a strange timing for it as well. So maybe that undervalued theme is taking hold. So let's just say that there's a few little melt-ups in these markets which are not a bit more challenging to run with, perhaps. We're at all-time highs again for the NASDAQ. And you can see as well, we're also, not only are we rallying to all-time highs with risk, we're also rallying to all-time highs with risk off as well. And that's represented here. After a strong sell-off on Friday, we're now retracing a lot of that move. So crude oil, we did get that rally last week. This was a very decent winning trade, sort of selling around the $73 level, rallying down to 70. And then we pulled back on Friday before it started to roll back over. But look, the $70 level is strong support, and we're above that level. And if this starts to turn bearish, then there's probably further sell trades there to be expected. So markets like the dollar become quite interesting. Because indices are suggesting to us we've got a strong risk-on market dynamic, and we're seeing that play out in markets like the euro dollar and the pound dollar. The difficulty we had is the narrative. So we've had a significant amount of upside in the euro dollar when we probably would have suggested the sell trades probably a little bit more in line. So you've got this sort of channel to the upside, and these are the areas in which proved quite challenging, where we'd expect kind of further downside at these points. And you can see we didn't get them. They turned into actually strong rejections to the downside on a number of occasions. And then the overall direction has just been pretty much higher. So our bias has been in favor of a weaker dollar, except last week we had every little bit of news was suggesting that perhaps we should be looking for a bit of a stronger dollar narrative. So occasionally we get weeks like this where the markets do the exact opposite of perhaps what we would ordinarily suggest. Now, that doesn't mean we kind of move away from our ability to identify high probability trades. It is a sort of a market phase that we kind of need to kind of get through. So when you get price action like this, there is a structural failure trade to the downside, which may be worth looking at. But with the indices rallying higher, we're probably looking for kind of further upside. So this is where multi-time frame analysis comes in. If you look at towards the end of last year, we were in a really strong dollar move. We're now still technically within this little sideways pattern down at these levels. We've made these lows now, and now we've got higher lows beginning to kick in. So this is a beginning of kind of the change potentially to the upside. So this is where, if we are genuine buyers of this market, we're still pretty close to breaking out. We had a small one there, I think last Thursday, again, into quite negative price action for the euro dollar, but the rally was pretty significant. And if we break above this high, then we are talking about a bit of a shift in favor of that dollar. Now, the only problem we have today is the bank holidays in the US and the lack of potential market drivers. So we're a little bit more tentative if we have a look at the pound dollar. So this has kind of broken above these highs, which is quite significant. There is now we've kind of seen three structural failure trades to the upside now, again, after a strong sell-off. So you can see that there is a bit of a bullish bias in here as well. So elsewhere for the dollar, just quickly, our bias is very much to the downside for markets like the yen. We're still in favor of a strong yen, which there's an opportunity in here potentially after this little pullback to sort of see if we get a bit of a roll over to the downside. So let's have a look at the yen. Dollar Swiss, we still haven't broken beneath these lows. Some dollar weakness against the euro, the pound, the Swiss franc, against the yen, against the dollar CAD, finally broke out on Thursday to the downside with a weaker dollar. But we do have these tariffs bubbling away in the background as well. So that will be coming to the fore now in the next week or two. the Aussie dollar. So again, we're making that progress to the upside in the Aussie dollar and probably New Zealand dollar as well. Okay, so let's have a view of a weaker dollar, stronger yen, commodities. We do like crude oil below $70. If we get below there, we'll pull the trigger on that one probably. Gold, 2, 4, 6 days of slightly more bullish, but yet quite choppy price action. But our bias would still be to the upside. It's pulling the trigger on the trade that's a little bit more challenging. And the S&P, for all intents and purposes, looks to be a little bit more bullish. So I suppose there's potentially, we've got a buy trade in the indices, we've got a sell trade in the dollar, we've got a buy trade in the yen, we've got a buy trade in gold. European stocks are buys currently. Okay. So let's, stock situation is a bit uncomfortable. And on Friday, we were talking about disconnected risk on market conditions. And we still probably have that relative disconnection there again. Disconnected risk on market conditions. We want to keep all options open. Gold strength due to central bank purchasing. We actually had an awful lot of weakness on Friday. And maybe now the buy trade is on, so we can keep that in place. We want to keep all options open as market narratives are proving contradictory. Right, let's go dollar weakness. Let's go yen strength, and we break down the better opportunities. Right, and we put so crude oil sell below $70. Okay, so we're procrastinating a little bit in today's analysis. I think for good reason. Disconnected risk on market conditions. It's certainly ignoring some elements that would be quite negative for markets. Bond yields are slightly softening, so it does feed into that dollar weakness trade. And we just step back from the indices because they're at all-time highs already, pretty much. So your option is really to buy an all-time high, which is not the greatest of trades. And we want to keep all options open as market narratives are proven contradictory. Look, I think it's relatively intact, that analysis. And we've been through periods like this many, many times before. So there's today's trade plan. Not the most comfortable of trade plans. Certainly we do normally like to have a little bit more clarity in terms of what's going on. But let's have a look for those US weakness trades and perhaps yen strength trades when we move over to the European live trading room. For those of you that can join us for that, we'll be there very, very shortly. So listen, on that note, guys, we'll let you go. Thanks very much for joining us. We kind of have risk on and indices and certainly risk on as well as far as the dollar. The reasoning behind it, a little bit more AI related, positive economic data specifically with regards to corporate earnings. The rest of the data is looking quite negative, or let's say weakening slightly. And we're really not too sure whether Trump is a net positive or a net gain. No real clarity on that, but this clarity will come over time. Okay, listen, on that note, guys, thanks very much for joining us. We'll let you go. The details are there into the chat box. And yeah, we'll switch rooms now. So for everyone here, take care. We'll speak to you shortly. Thanks, everyone. All the best now. Bye-bye.